Reading from the book of St. Luke, if you've got your Bibles, the 9th chapter, in the 23rd verse. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, there's something to consider right there. It didn't just say, "Let him take up his cross and follow me." I wonder why Jesus emphasized that the way he did. He didn't say, just say, "Let him take up his cross and follow me," did he? He said, "Let him take up his cross daily." Daily. Daily, Brother Thomas. Every day. Hallelujah. Let him take up his cross every day. Now, somebody says, "Well, praise God, I got my cross. Can eat, drink, and be merry." Oh, no. No, that's not the way the cross goes. Somebody says, "I can take up my cross, I can buy, I can have, I can hold, I can laugh, I can talk." No. No, that's not what the cross was, see. Take up your cross. A cross means there's some self-denial. A cross means going contrary to you. The Spirit of Christ in you crossing your flesh. I asked the Lord one time, I said, "Well, what is my cross? I don't even know." And the Lord said to me, "Son, it's when the flesh crosses the spirit and the spirit crosses the flesh." He said, "One of them's got to die." And I thought, "Well, what am I doing?" You know, because I was much alive in the flesh about that time, Brother Thomas. And I said, "My God." You know, and I realized that I had to do something. So when you take up your cross, then you're going to cross the outer man. And you're going to put him to death. And you're going to choke the very life out of him until there's nothing left of him. You're not going to look in the mirror and see how glamorous you are and paint your eyelids and your lips, you know, like a lizard. You're not going to do that. Forgive me, I don't mean to be so crude. But if you're raised in the country, you don't have the vocabulary, you know, that some of the college students. Brother Taylor got about 7 years of college, he could say that better. But he's mighty rough himself. He sounds more like John the Baptist. But anyway, I don't mean to be critical, crude. Paul said, rude in speech, but not in knowledge, you know. We're not supposed to be following after the flesh. We're not supposed to be projecting the flesh. This body does belong to God. It is the Lord's. And it is the temple of God after that you're born again and you kill out the firstborn. Once you kill him out, you know, that is to say, to move the infiltration from your body to where the mind of the flesh is no longer there, then you're purged and purified. You know, you're kind of like the old possum. If you're going to eat him, you're going to have to put him up for a few days. Clean his system out, which I ain't never got a hold of that part. But anyway, that's the way it works, you know, to the extent that God makes a new. You know, that is to say, if you could kill the possum and bring him back in some other form, it'd be fine. But believe it or not, when you get through cleaning him out, he's still a possum. He's still got the same nature. And whatever he's built out of, that's what he's built out of. But the Lord's got a better system. He knows that from the beginning that we're nothing but corruption, that we're infiltrated with the worms that's inbred within us as to the evil spirits, even from our youth. Our very thoughts are evil, and the Bible says that the spirit of foolishness is bound in the heart of a child even from our birth, and he has to bring the rod of correction because a child left to himself shall bring shame. So he has to kill us out. And then he says to you and says to me, he said, "Now you're dead because of Calvary. The body's dead because of sin. Now from now on, I want you to work on that thing," the Lord says. And I know I hear the song, and it's right, pretty little song. You know, he made the stars, Jupiter and Mars, and he's still working on me. But that's not true. He's not still working on me. He got rid of me at Calvary, and that ended that thing. But I tell you what, he put me to work. And he said, "Now you work a little bit, and you work the works of righteousness, and you bring forth fruits unto holiness, having the end thereof eternal life." See, and he tells me to repent and do my first works over. So then he left it to me. And now it's up to me to put that body down and to do away with that body as to the mind of the world, as to the love of the world, as to the lust of the flesh, as to the lust of the eyes, as to the pride of life, as to going after the exuberance of those things that are the tangible forms of matter, as to that that's emanated from God, that's been contaminated by Satan, that's under the curse, as he said, don't touch those things. Seek the kingdom first. Run all of this through the filter of Christ Jesus, and I'll give it to you forever. So seek the kingdom first, and all these other things will be added. Now, you know, a lot of people don't like for you to preach like that because that puts a damper on things. You know, they're all sparked up and they're just radiant and they're just going full speed ahead and they're so happy. And then we start doing that, then they have to get a bridle on, have to get under control, and ain't nothing no more. Isn't that something? Somebody says, well, bless God, Brother Pike, you killed everything. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give the Lord one. I've tried hard enough, you know, tried hard enough. That's what we're trying to do. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto the world and to sin and alive unto God. Get rid of the inspiration of the flesh. Get that inspiration of God, that eternal quickening, not as to a human senses, of quickening that stimulates the outer man, but that which is the inner man. And though the outer man perish, the Bible said, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And after a while, this inspiration of that inner man, he's going to break forth more and more. And he's going to literally consume the outer ambitions and the foolishness of your zeal that eats God up, that goes about without the knowledge of God. And then he's going to change. And you're talking about a quickening. You speaking of an inspiration, you're talking about something as though the sun shines within your strength and the wonderful radiance of God, like 440 volts, as we said, going through your body and satisfaction, not one tiny little thing unsatisfied as to that body of the Lord Jesus, who is the 100% in God. So then I'm pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, now what is that? Well, the Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind, lest you hate your life, that is your life of the past. See, to get all the infiltration out as to that mind, then you can't press for this prize. But what is the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus? The Bible said that one that be perfect shall be as his master. And Paul said, I don't say that I've obtained unto this, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing forward to be one with my master. So he got to the place to where he did say, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. In the life I now live, I live with the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So then there's two minds that is battling over your body. One of them is the mind of Christ, one of them is the mind of Lucifer. And God has made that body to project himself through. And as he comes through that body, as to the life of Christ penetrating your genetics, as to the life of Christ being made manifest in your mortal body, it will give you life filled up and overflowing as the abundant life to radiate, that he beautified the meek with salvation and give you eternal life and move every spot and every blemish as it was when Naaman went down at the word of the prophet, dipped into the river Jordan 7 times. He came back up, and the Bible said, though he had leprosy, when he came out of that water by obedience unto the prophet, through the act of faith, his skin was like a little child, like a little baby. So then the Lord renews us as to a new birth, like a little child. And then we're precious in his sight. That skin as to the natural showed the innocency of you and I as to that body of Jesus Christ, that spiritual body. It's like a little child. It's so perfect. Not a spot, not a blemish, not anything. All right, so then we realize then the battle is on because of these two minds. And Satan, being a spirit, he wants this body so he can project himself through it. He is a power of characteristics. See, he is a personality, and he's trying to project himself as an angelic being through it, when God made it for you as an angelic being to project yourself through this body and in this relate to the natural things that are around you and enjoy these wonderful things as to the substance of life. See, But Satan, who is greater, as a mighty power, your spirit is one measure in God. An angelic being is another measure, and yours as a man is a smaller measure. He's more mighty. I say so often, it takes more inspiration for him. And since he has been rejected as to a fallen angel and been turned out of the light into the darkness, which means out of the understanding of God into ignorance, then he is the ruler of that ignorance, or the ruler of that darkness, as to the darkness of this world, because this world is in gross darkness. The Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people, and they are in gross darkness, which means intellectual ignorance from educational systems. See, and they cannot see light as to the wisdom and understanding of God when it comes. They can't see that. See, because they don't have eyes to see that. They have eyes to see the natural. They don't see that great light when it shined around about Paul, though Paul was a great intellectual scholar, yet he couldn't see anything. And the Bible said they shall not see good, in that there's nothing good but God, the great light. They shall not see good when it cometh. And the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding. And Jesus said, having ears, they cannot hear. You wonder why people are around this so long and that they still continue in the flesh. Why that they are around this so long and they still go on in the way that they go. It's because they've never seen it. Jesus said to them, though he was God standing in their midst, he said, you've never seen God at any time. He said, you've never even seen his shape. See, and said, why is it you don't hear me? Because you don't have any ears to hear. Having ears, they hear not, the prophet said before Jesus came. So you don't have ears, but let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, it's the spiritual ears, what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, let him hear. Let him hear. And they'll all be taught of God. God is in his temple. So they are fighting over this body. That brings you and I into a precarious place because the body belongs to us. And as out of a sovereignty, we must give it to one spirit or another. That's where the cross comes in. See, the battleground is to the soul, and that's where the cross comes in. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus. Not the mind of the tree of knowledge, but the mind that said, thou shalt not eat thereof. See, don't be partakers of those things, because it brings the curse. Now, Adam and Eve lost everything because of disobedience, of unbelief. And sin came into the world because of lust, and that she looked and lusted, the lust of the eyes. But the thing is, God has restored that through Jesus Christ. Now we have it all. I've given you all things that pertain unto life in this world and in the world to come. So I'm just saying these few and four words to try to bring to your understanding that the battle royal is on. And it's in the heavenly places because it is a spiritual battle, something that you can't see except through the eyes of understanding. And we wrestle not against our body as to flesh and blood. Our physical afflictions, our problems as to natural things, we are wrestling against powers of evil, spiritual wickedness in the high places, which means in the spiritual realm, higher than you as to your natural level of life. For the serpent as to Satan, as to the spirit of the devil, has climbed up into the upper level, which means into the spiritual places. See, and he is sitting in the temple of God, even the body that was made for God, showing himself that he is God. Because, see, God was supposed to be manifested in you, that he might show himself as God. And that's why Paul said, it's not me living, but it's God. It's Christ. You are the image of God. You was made in the image of God. And since God is invisible in that world, he is God. In this world, you are God. Because he shows forth in you, and the world can only see you. And what they do to you, they do it to God. What they don't do to you, they don't do it to God. And that's the way that they're judged. See, so a lot of people, they say, Brother Pike, I beg your pardon. There is but one God. And that's true. But the Bible said to the world, there are gods many. God Confucius, Muhammad, Ali, all kind of gods. Pagan gods of wood, stone, gold, silver, automobiles, homes, whatever you worship, whatever you give your spirit to, idols of movie stars and dignitaries, that's your object of worship as to your God, if that's what you give your admiration, your ambition, and desire toward. See, that's your God. You've become enslaved by the spirit that's got that thing as to its individuality or projection. Now, but I'm saying this, there is but one God. We know that there's but one God. One God, one faith, one baptism. And we also know that that one God is a spirit. We know that. See, but the thing is, that one God has a head called Jesus Christ. In him dwelt the fullness of that spirit. And Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm healed, die in your sins. There's only one way to that great God, the Spirit, and that's through the sacrificed lamb. If you have your sins forgiven, as to the Old Testament, should have been back there, it would have been through the sacrifice of the lamb. No man can come to the Spirit except through the sacrificed lamb, through the blood. For Jesus said, no man can get past that. Your sins are taken away by the blood. See, there's no remission without the shedding of blood. You've got to go through the Lamb. So it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name, which is the name of the Lamb, his name shall be called Jesus. Salvation in none other name. And if you get into the Spirit, you've got to have your sins washed away by that means. See, if you climb up another way, as to the grace, the blood on the seat of atonement, as to the rain on the just and the unjust, you'll get into the presence of God with these great, mighty things, but you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness, which means into the intellectual ignorance, to be a proselyte, to feel everything's all right, God sending you strong delusions, causing you to believe a lie, and letting you be damned because, from passing land and sea as they do, they make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. So, we know then that God is for us. God has worked a great thing for us. It's our very fingertip. It's there. See, and God has restored to us all things that pertain unto life. And we're his very image. There's but one God who is a spirit. Jesus Christ is the head of that body that is his many members. One God who is a spirit with a body of many members, Jesus Christ being the head of it. That's why he said, ye are gods, as to membership, as to the members of his body, individually, as to measures, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men, because you've not come into your understanding as to be the tutors, or to acknowledge what God has given unto you through the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So the battle is over the body. It's over the body. It's even in the days of Moses when Satan came to claim the bodies to say, look, this body's from the dust and I'm the prince of this world. See, it's from the dust. It's my body. Because that was to say, it is the body of the serpent. It is the body of the serpent. Because it was said, as to the breath of life, going into Adam, and when Adam rejected God, as to the cutting off, he said, in the day that you eat thereof, that breath of life will be gone. You'll die into a God day. No one ever lived 1,000 years. Coming in the millennium to live 1,000 years, to show the curse is gone, and then bringing it to the celestial, to show man is to blame and God is not. So then he said, now, Adam, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. Or now, Adam, upon thy belly shall thou go all the days of thy life. You come from the dust, now as the serpent shall be upon your belly, and all you'll ever eat is out of the ground, the dust, for the rest of your life. See, but with us, that's not the way it is. For when they came to Jesus, they said unto the Lord Jesus, of whose body we are, members in particular, the last man Adam, a quickening spirit, death to the first man Adam, delivered for offenses, we're free from that body of sin and death. Now we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And so then it was said to that body, see, that it's different. When they came, they said, you know, he's beside himself. He hasn't eaten. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Heavenly meat. Take my body, my blood. This is meat and drink indeed. Lest you eat my body as to the spiritual thing of Christ coming within you, and drink my blood as to that spiritual thing, or that word that's made spirit coming into you. He said, you don't have any life. And someone said, well, has anyone given him to eat and drink? No one had. But he did say, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. As to the inner man, he shall eat of those wonderful things that's in heaven. Wonderful things that are in heaven. So this is why I like Revelation, and this is why I love the ways of God. I love to be spiritual. I love to keep my mind in heaven. I love to lay my treasures up in heaven. I don't want to be part of this world because I'm not of this world. The world don't love me. They say all kind of mean things about me because they don't love me. But the Bible said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the Bible says that we're to come out from among them and be a separate people. If we was of the world, they would love us. See, so we're not of the world. And we're not to be part of the world. We're not to take part in the world. So we just come out from among the world. All right, now, so he tells them here now, he goes on to say, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That is, you make preparations here to provide here when the Bible said, don't try to provide things for the flesh. Don't lay up advantages for the flesh. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Well, that is to say, he was talking to some of them just before as to the crucifixion. See, some standing here that shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. He was walking with them. Well, that is, he was saying that I am soon to go to Calvary. The law and the prophets were until John or Calvary. But when I go to Calvary, and when I smite this body, rend the veil, then the kingdom of God is going to be here. It's here now. You can't see it. It's within me. And the Holy Spirit cannot come to you except I go away. Now, it's imperative that I go away. When I rend the veil and the body is taken away, as to that part that goes away, folded up, laid away, resurrected, took, set at the right hand of the Father, had the blood atonement so that God can look at these bodies as covered with the blood, seeing us through the blood, the remission of our sin. See, and then Christ coming, living within us, God looks and sees Christ in this body, this vesture dipped in blood, as to the membership of his body, and he finds no fault in that just man. See, and everything is just fine with us, and our life is hid with Christ, or our spirit in Christ's spirit. And when he, our life, appears, we shall appear with him, where? As it was in glory. We will appear in glory because we've been translated as to the inner man into the glory of God. See, and the Bible said as to this earthen vessel, heavenly treasure in the earthen vessel, and said that this world or the things of this world are not to be compared with that which is to be revealed within us as to these things being the beggarly elements of the world. For this glory that shall be revealed within us as to the sun shining as the noonday as in our strength. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful. And just them that teach, that turn people away from sin, that converts people to righteousness, shall outshine the brightness of the noonday. So when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, having laid aside the veil, the Bible said it was as though the sun shined within his strength in the midst of those seven candlesticks. So we are a great object, folks. We are the object of worship. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God means object of worship. And he said, you're gods, the object of worship. That is, I will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. And that you must praise someone in a good thing. You must praise someone. And I say again, you know, the people say, but God will not give his glory to another, Brother Pike. You can't do that. But I keep telling you over and over, we are not another. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he hath not given his glory to another. He hath given it to himself. He hath given it to himself. Because he said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Then, Father, make these one as we're one in the same pardon me, same life and same glory. Baptize these members into the membership of my body by the Spirit of life, even Christ within them. And when Moses and Elijah appeared, where did they appear? They appeared in glory. They had his same glory. There they were with the same glory he was. Enlightened with or glorified with. So the glory means glorification or our glorification. A woman's hair is her glory. Stars differ in glory. Sometimes we speak a little bit on the difference as to the glory of one thing. And each star different in a glory as to what God was saying. But as the songwriter says, in that day, he will outshine them all. So we realize then that there is a dispute over the body. And the body is being given to somebody freely out of a sovereignty of you as to your mind, Satan's mind, God's mind, your mind owns it. You are freely giving it to somebody. As to the fall, it was freely given to the devil. The devil suggested something and Eve went after it, thus giving herself to it. Whatever you follow, that's your object of worship. We are God's glory as to being made manifest, as to reproduce his image. A woman is man's glory as to love him and conform to him and to be his reproduced image as to the children and the family. And these two are no longer twain, but they are one. They are one. They're no longer twain, but they're one flesh. The secret of God and the church. That is to say, the mystery concerning the church of man and God is no longer twain, as to say God and man, but now they are one. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am his body. I am his expression. Paul said, let this mind be in you, the same kind of mind. He was made in the form of God. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. For the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, and Christ is perfected forever. So then that means that if we can believe as to the measure of our belief, thus comes the perfection. All right, so then when it says that they're no longer twain, then they are one. Then we would say, well, then that means that God is no longer God, he is man. Well, that's true to the extent that he was manifested in a man. God actually became a man. But the thing is, though God, the Word, the Spirit, was made flesh and became a man, and they called him the Son of Man. On the other hand, when you reverse it and you go back the other way, then if they are no longer twain but one, then what would you say? Man is no longer man. For the Bible said Adam, the first man, was made a living soul. Adam, the last man, was made a quickening spirit. So now, if God is no longer God, but he's man as to your world, then if you're no longer man, but you're dwelling in heaven in his world, then what does that make you? And Jesus told him, God. For ye are gods, God the object of worship. I'll make them come and kneel at your feet. Know that I've loved you. I'll praise you in a good thing. See? I praise you and a good thing. Let the world come and kneel before you. You're the temple of God. I'm in my temple. Let all the world keep silent. I'll speak it. It won't be you speaking, but they'll all be taught of God. Judgment will begin at the house of God. Now, we say that, see, and someone says, well, my God, Brother Pike, don't you think you're blaspheming? Jesus said, and you say that I blaspheme because I say that I am the Son of God? See, did Adam blaspheme or did the writer blaspheme when he called Adam the Son of God? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you're saying object of worship. Check the dictionary. The word God means object of worship. Somebody said, but that's God. It was you that gave God that title. There was no such thing as the word God. Where did you ever know about the word God other than from human vocabulary? We gave him that title because that means object of worship. Then what was God before the world ever was? What was God before there was ever a human intellect? What was God before there was ever an expression called God? So then the Lord has done these things. He is so great. He is so mighty. He's so loving. He's so wonderful. He's so kind. He's so unselfish until I'm overwhelmed. I think of him sometimes and I say, God, it's just more than I can get a hold of. I'm literally overwhelmed. You're so unselfish that you've made me exactly yourself. refusing to withhold anything from me to where I can stand as Paul and say, by your grace, I am what I am. And it's not me living, but Christ living within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, that I'm bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. See, and somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, but let's go farther than that. As I told somebody the other day, what if I go farther than that? I say, folks, it's not only that he hath made us God, not only that, but what if we decided just to command God to do things? How would we feel then? How would we feel then? Somebody says, my God, you're crazy for sure. No. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And God himself said to you and me, said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. Command thou me. See, Jesus is the word. Faith gets control of that word, and God being the word, it commands God. Every time you believe, it puts that word to work. It's spirit and life and power, and he turns it into power, and you're in command. When Moses went down there to Pharaoh, you know, he didn't know what to say. God told him to go, so he didn't know what to say. He went down there and, you know, we would say that Jehovah has sent me, or the great mighty has sent me, or the almighty God has sent me. God wanted Moses to know and the people to know that him and Moses was one. So he said unto Aaron, he said, Aaron, I've made Moses God. Or that was in general what he said unto the people. Moses, I made God unto the people. And he said, when you go down there to Pharaoh, you know, you're not to tell him this way back over here or this way back up here or somewhere down here. Paul said, say not who's going to bring him down from heaven or up from the earth. It's nigh unto you even in your heart. Say what you will, it'll be done unto you. With the heart you believe unto God, and with the mouth confession is made unto bringing that glory into you to make you one with that glory. See, and so he said, what must I do? Just tell him you're there, that's all. Just go down and tell him you're there. That is, go say, I am. I am. I am a sent man. You know the thing that's so amazing, that in the New Testament when they come, they'd say, and who are you? I am. And the other said, and he always referred to himself as I am. Because God is never, never has been, and never will be, I was. Nor shall he ever be, for I am to come. That is just the future. But he is a present help in the time of need, which means I am. Which means that you are one with God. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And what I am is the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. It's not me living as to that body that's dead. Of what I was, I'm dead because of sin, and that's gone. Today it's Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, whatever he is, that's what I am. I am thus in him, and I am complete in him, and he hath given me all things that pertain unto life, and wherever he is, he said, my disciples will be there with me. And where is he today? The Bible said, and he that the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things, sitting yonder at the right hand of the Father, and said to you and I, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcome and sit down in the throne with my Father, which we are the members of his body that sits in that throne. Heaven being his throne, earth is his footstool. He fills eternity. He said, and who shall build me a tabernacle? Or that is to say, God throughout eternity and throughout the universe. And we are the ones, as to these lively stones of the light, most precious, as that jeweled city adorned as a bride for the husband, built upon the foundations of the apostles, as to that great capstone, Jesus Christ, and the light radiating through these lively stones out to all the world, and all of eternity is walking in the light of this wonderful, wonderful light. For Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And he said unto you and I, every man take heed how he build upon this foundation, as to these 12 apostolic leaders, for the day shall try his work. Don't be trying to preach something outside of baptism in Jesus' name and one God and one faith, because these are the 12 foundations of that city that Jesus Christ himself come to lay
that you as lively stones, as to Paul being a wise master builder, as to the Gentiles and to all people, Jews or whatever, as to this great master plan, building this thing up, not him and yet Christ, who builder and maker as God is to Abraham, searching for that city with the foundations of these apostolic leaders, said, and be careful how you build on this foundation. If you build wood and stubble, the day's going to try your works and they're going to be burned. You're going to suffer loss. See, so other foundations can no man lay. Though they lay them everywhere in the world, and it appears that they've got them and they preach all kind of doctrines and all kind of God. But folks, there's but one God, there's but one faith, there's but one baptism, there's but one great city, but one capstone, many lively stones that make up that great city as to the walls, and there's the foundations of the apostolic teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that goes outside of that is a thief and a robber. For the Bible said everything without those gates are liars and whoremongers and thieves and robbers. It doesn't matter how religious they are, they'll never enter in through those beautiful gates. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So just exhorting you a little this morning, and we could go on talking about the wonderful things of God, but that wonderful, beautiful thing is a bride adorned for a husband. She's descending out of heaven because we are hid with Christ in God, which means we are in heaven. The Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven, he said to Nicodemus, and wherever I am, my disciples are there, and that's where he's at. Rejoice forevermore that are in heaven. And what are we doing? We're coming to the recognition that we have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The marvelous kingdom of God. As somebody was saying to me yesterday, being a sinner, they didn't really understand. And they said something about faith and whatever and the things of God and thinking in bodily terms. They said, I know that couldn't be, because if that was, then of course we'd just be translated into the kingdom of God. I said, that's true. But on the other hand, I said, that's what we are. And I said, and by faith, even as Enoch, the law and the prophets, so John, since that time the kingdom's been preached, men pressed their way into it. I said, we have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And we, as that spiritual, angelic being on the inside, we are in the kingdom of God, folks. We are in the kingdom of God, and the body's dead, it's gone. No need to judge it, no need to look on it. Nobody can lay anything to the charge of that dead man. He ain't doing nothing. He's just laying there. See, and more, we could go into this wonderful, wonderful enlightenment of the revelation of the great, wonderful mind of God. And why do I need the mind of God? Why should I let this mind be in me? Because that mind that was in Christ Jesus, I say this so often, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God, not to Brother Pike, but unto the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave unto him to show unto his people. See, the revelation is to say God revealing himself within Christ to say, you're one with me, you're God. And so then now, as to the measure we will allow to live in us, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is to his mind, speaking to us and telling us the same things concerning ourselves as the body of Christ through his grace, through his righteousness, as it told the Lord Jesus Christ, saying unto ye, ye are gods. Bringing you into this membership as to this one mind is collectively speaking the full measure of the full stature, going right on into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, because this body, being the creature, though subject to vanity as to human senses relating to tangible sources of matter, being brought into bondage because of the human elements of life and the human side of life and the necessitated things to sustain life. But yet the Bible said the creature itself, speaking of the body, shall be delivered, brought into the wonderful glories of the liberties of the sons of God. See, in the mystery that Paul spoke of, we shall not all sleep, but we're going to discover. And we're going to discover. And we're going to discover. And after a while, the dead that are in Christ, not the dead, for the wicked dead, which is really the dead, live not again until the 1,000 years is over, but them that are asleep will Christ bring with him when he cometh as to their spirit to pick up their body. See, and them spirits will enter into their bodies first, rise up to let you know that you've conquered death, and the head has come back to the members, and then you'll be changed in your body. So then we're going on to the change that we should not sleep as to the mystery that Paul spoke of, as to the redemption of the body, even the little coats they're doing. That is just a foolish thing. No one will notice it. You know, it has to do with that California meeting, Jews buying a place in Israel, all these kind of things. But anyway, the change of the body coming on, that this wonderful glory, heavenly treasure that's already in these earthen vessels be made manifest in these mortal bodies. Folks, you just don't know who you are. You just don't know where you are. You just don't understand because you've been children. But your eyes by now should be coming open. If they're not coming open now, and if you can't receive this, then that means you're not one of them. If you're just hearing this and won't unite with the brethren and won't be one of the brothers, you are a hypocrite and you are a reflector and you are in fleshly exuberance to manifest yourself of some great knowledge at the expense of souls and God, and God will blot you out of the book of life and he will burn you in the lake of fire. All right, so then they were all together. All continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I said the other day, whether at Bethlehem, around the world, when they recognize one another, they'll fall into ranks. They'll fall into leadership like the great army, and there will not be any church outside of that. Let me tell you this in closing. A lot of times we look around and say the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the non-denominationals, and this man, this is just all over the world. Saying every man's his king, then he's got his kingdom and whatever. No, that's foolishness. That's devilishness. There is no such thing. There was one church. 3,000 was added unto it at Pentecost. And there's just one building. All of us are built one upon another to that great headstone, Jesus Christ. And it's the great army of God, and it's all under command. You know, the sergeant can do what he wants to when the colonel isn't around. Always say the corporal does what he wants to and he's in command until the sergeant comes. And the sergeant makes him take a bow until the captain comes. And the captain makes him take a bow until the colonel comes. And he makes him take a bow until the general comes. And he makes him take a bow until the president comes. So we're under leadership. We're under command no matter where we're at in the world. And we're subject to these things and we're tied to these things. And this is the order of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you break ranks, then you're not part of him. The Bible said in that day, God will bring again Zion. And in this hour, when he brings them forth, they shall see eye to eye. They shall not break ranks. They shall march hand in hand. See, and they shall be the mighty army of the living God. And so then, so it goes around the world. All of the ends of the world be saved by coming unto me, looking unto me. And he said, hath not our words gone unto the ends of the earth? But who hath believed our report? So then salvation and healing is to be part of this body is by believing. All right, let's stand together. Much we could say, but it's enough to make you think. Sing a little chorus together. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. You know what? Couldn't you just picture the great army of the great mighty United States? Somebody over here in Germany, somebody in Russia, somebody over here in another part of the world, somebody in America. And each one under a command as to part of the great army. But this one over here runs things like he wants to. He could care less about what the president has to say about it. He's not subject to any command, so he's cut the headship off. As to we say Christ in the earth as it would be spiritually. See, and when you get ready to fight, this group over here says, well, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't feel like fighting. I'd rather eat, drink, and be married. Folks, it don't work like that. All these people that's got their little individualities as to their kingdom and projecting themselves and trying to get around the Word of God, that greedily as devils try to learn all they can about the Word of God, knowing someday that they're going to run off with their little thing or do their little thing. As Paul said, even people among you rising up leading ministry after them. See, getting everything they can, doing everything they can, not only at Bethlehem, but anywhere the body of Christ is. See, and going to set up their little kingdom, do their little thing. All around the world, this goes. Not only in America, but everywhere. So, then they're going to do their little thing because they're going to cut corners. They don't exactly like holiness, and they don't exactly like pulling them to the line, and they don't exactly like what you say, so they're going to climb up another way. They're not going to come through the Word, is to believe the Word. They're just going to believe as the devil does in the days of grace while the rain is on the tap. And they're going to grow up by the rain, the same rain, and spread themselves abroad. But one day God will cut them down and put them in the fire. He'll gather the grain and the garners, but he'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. For the Bible said, after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. For we're commanded of God to go on to perfection. For the Bible said, turn not again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works over and over. As to be a habitual violator just to do your little thing and trust in repentance as to the mercies of God. For not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that goeth on to perfection or try to do what he can, he that endureth to the end, or he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, for after you've once come to the knowledge of the truth, turn and leave it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So, people, as to all these little private enterprises, these denominational things and whatever it might be, as to having the body of the Lord Jesus split up in splinters, God has suffered that for a time. Because as it was said to Solomon, people so thought they caused problems. They couldn't get along separating the little chicks from the broilers and the broilers from the fryers and the fryers from the bigger, so that they won't peck each other to death and they won't walk over each other until they can grow up and get strong enough to where they can all come together. See, children kept in a fence over here and a fence over here to keep them out of the roads, keep them away from the traffic, keep people from running off with them. But one day they're going to climb the fence. They're going to get big enough to know their neighbors. See, and become the best kind of buddies. So the Lord suffered that in the days of Solomon, said, so that there won't be any fuss, any fight, no noise. For I am a God of peace. I am a God of quietness. I am like a dove. You chop on your piece over here and let him chop on his piece and them chop on their piece. And in the day when I get ready, I'll call for all these pieces and they will be blocked out just perfectly. And as the Solomon's beautiful temple, they'll all come together. And like the stone, the song we wrote about the chief cornerstone giving God his place, then the cornerstone will come. When they get in one mind and one accord, then that great mind of the fullness will have gathered the parts and all to him. And then, built up to Christ Jesus, we'll all come together, fitting all this together, and there won't be any fuss. Everything will fit into its place as to its measure, as under the command, as to its height, as to its elevation, as to whatever the degree or level it is to be fitted into. It'll just fit there because it won't fit anywhere else. And it'll be glad just to be a part of the body. And all of this other conglomeration of devils and demons and preachers and pretty boys and girls and all of these fashions and dignitaries and money-hungry people, gullible desires of those things that are beasts and some of them brute beasts may be taken and destroyed. They'll drift away. The vomit will be wiped off the table. God will sift and they'll fall through. And he'll bring his precious children as to that that's been in the midst of that. Fit them all together and they will gladly submit as to one to another. They will gladly esteem others better than themselves. They'll gladly look on the things of the other. They'll gladly seek Christ in one another as to whatever they can get out of an individual if he's got something good as to that heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. And folks, we're not very far from that. We're not very far from that. Everything is shaping up. And what we need to do is just love one another. Love one another. Not break ranks. Just keep on keeping on. Don't yield your faith and compromise or compromise, for he is faithful that promised. He'll keep his word. All right, let's sing another little chorus, can I? Down at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. How I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over. Sweep over my soul. Pour my rest, it is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing that? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, not less, and I'll sail the rough seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep about over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Savior, and oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. Just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice
and don't turn him away. Let's lift our hands together and close our eyes. And I will praise him, my will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, Lord. For his blood has washed to every sin. Once again together. So I will praise him, my heart will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners. I think I'll ask Brother Richard the Jew to come and dismiss us. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away every stain. Can you lift up your hands, close your eyes? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith that cometh by the hearing of the word of God. The things that we preach to you, if thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall bring you your deliverance, your healing, your blessings, your prosperity. It will make you free. And the things that we preach this morning is the things that's translating the church. And if you can believe these wonderful things, then from glory to glory, as to faith on the inside, as to this life of Christ being made manifest in your mortal genes, as to the change of this body to bring this creature into the glorious liberties of God, that it may also appear in glory with him. This message will do it if thou canst believe. Charity hopeth all things, believeth all things. Charity never fails. Charity is the bond of perfectness. And everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And without charity, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. With all of the ministers, with all the gifts, with all of the endeavors, without all, even with all the exuberance of life, but without charity, then are you nothing. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't look for its own thing. Charity is not puffed up. Charity behaveth not itself unseemingly as to being Christ-like. Charity seeketh not its own, but another's wealth. Charity is the bond of perfection. Charity never fails. Where there's prophecies, they shall fail. Many things shall fail, but charity shall never fail, because charity is the spirit of that sacrificial God that we serve. As Brother Richard comes, let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes, search our hearts, and see if our faith is founded upon the God of charity.